It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel will get Michael Bruns from Husker 24-7 on the horn here shortly. Reminder of what's going on all week with Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, the La Vista location. Reminder, if you want to help out, please do so when it comes to folks in the Bennington and Elkhorn region, folks hit by the tornadoes, and what's going on with Herdat Sports Bar and Grill at the La Vista location, disaster relief from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you're invited to collect hygiene items or clothing or non-perishable foods to be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution to those in need. And can just swing by the La Vista location at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill through 7 o'clock. And that throughout the week to help those in need. We know Nebraskans are so great at helping one another out. Can also donate $10 to the American Red Cross. Can text Red Cross in all caps to 90999. If you want to donate some money, do it that way. So Vic chimes in, Vic out in Denver in the stream, says, Schmitty, you can't use CU players as examples of how the transfer portal works. I'm not. The program is a five-alarm dumpster fire. I'll buy you a fifth awry if they get bowl eligible this year. That is incredible, Vic. You want me to cheer for Colorado this season so I can get a fifth of rye from you? Well, I can cheer for the Buffs to get six wins in the Big 12. We'll see. We'll see. Is that a fair investment to take on, Elijah? Cheering for Colorado to win six ball games this year so I can get a free fifth of rye from Vic?
It's different for you than for me because you had a longer period of time of your life in which Colorado was a true conference rival.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the same for somebody like me.
I
would make that handshake deal under the table and
we put it out and
quietly root for Colorado, not publicly, but in the comfort of my own home, I would do that.
Now it's on record.
For you.
for you.
I'm pretty sure this deal was for you. Don't lump me in with this.
For the rye. For the love of rye. Cheer for Colorado except that second week of September. We welcome in with Husker 24-7, a man of many talents, that is baseball, basketball, football with the Big Red. He also cheers for Oakland. It is Michael Bruns time at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Brunsy, how we doing? Thanks for a few minutes.
Wow, I'm on hold, and I come to find out you're a big Shedeur Sanders guy. You think you know somebody, and look at you.
Hold on. Listen.
Yeah, you can defend yourself.
I can defend myself here. I am not a fan. I'm not a fan of Shedeur hammering teammates on Twitter like he did today. And we'll see how much of a meth explosion this thing is in Boulder in year two.
Well, can I just say?
It is rye whiskey, and rye whiskey tastes better than about anything.
I just say, two things can be true. On one hand, I can be extremely tired and annoyed by the Shedeur Sanders antics and the antics of really the entire Sanders family, while also turning around and saying, I think based on what Shedeur Sanders puts on the field, he's a good quarterback. And I can respect that, and I can understand that, hey, Nebraska's got a task in front of them to still go beat a quarterback with the at the level of Shedeur Sanders, a guy that really performed well against Nebraska last year. Like, let's not discount what he's done on the field while also saying, you know what, that dude's antics get real old real fast.
He's a good quarterback till he pisses off his linemen, and they let him go turnstile and continue to bury him.
He's just a me guy.
Well, totally. I mean, that he's allowed to be a me guy. Bruncey, a lot to talk about here. Let's get into the spring session for the Big Red. And your takeaways here from the spring game Saturday. What did you like? What surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start offensively. You have to, you know, certainly appreciate the strides that they've made on that side of the ball. I mean, just think about where things were the last time we saw that outfit in November where – you know, it was moving heaven and earth to try to get any kind of offense going. You know, there was a level of efficiency that was pretty impressive to me. Obviously, the quarterbacks kind of stole the show. But, I mean, I was eager to kind of see if the chatter about the wide receivers that we've kind of been hearing here and there all spring was legit. And, I mean, that's an impressively deep group, and you didn't even have – you know, Malachi Coleman out there, who's up to, you know, 6'3", 220 right now because of the shoulder injury. So, you know, that was probably my main takeaway was, you know, you were kind of wondering what the weapons around these young quarterbacks were going to look like this season. And, you know, the picture looked pretty good. I know there's a grain of salt you kind of have to – you're obligated to mention because of who was missing on the defense and the fact that, I mean, basically, what, 6-7 starters didn't even really play. But, I don't know that last year's offense has that kind of day against even the second-team defense. So I really like that. You know, special teams, a little bit of a concern. I think we probably need to see a little bit more of that. But, you know, I left the stadium on Saturday feeling – you know, I'm generally pretty positive about the way things were headed, and it's not often, you know, during a following a spring game that I kind of have felt that way. I mean, the only one that I can kind of remember feeling like, okay, this is new and different, was like the 2011 spring game where they had a similarly kind of explosive offensive day. So lots to like, I think.
It's Michael Brents with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Some thoughts on the Husker spring game. Because we have to, we'll probably also get to Malachi Coleman's cryptic Twitter post as well a little bit later. But
you still want to go in on it, huh?
We have to talk about it. It's whatever.
Room is padded for you. I mean,
we'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second. But Michael, as you look back on spring game Saturday, we're going to get into this with Matt Verzel here next segment. Didn't seem to be a showcase for much else besides the quarterbacks in the passing attack. But I want to get your thoughts. Offensive line performance, impressive, not much to know because of how vanilla some of the defenses were. What's your take on what we saw from the offensive line?
I don't know. Probably the, you know, it's tough to know. I mean, between who wasn't playing, you know, you didn't have Ben Scott in there. Bryce Benhart wasn't in there, and they were really kind of mixing and matching guys. The fact that, you know, the pass rush is a little bit limited because they're not trying to go screaming into the quarterback. I mean, there were a couple plays that probably should have been blown dead that weren't. And you know, the day was kind of set up, I think, for the passing offense. I mean, Matt Rhule said as much that they wanted to see what they could do through the air, and that's what they did. But, you know, I thought Emmett Johnson ran the ball, you know, well. I think you can kind of see where – you know, he can be really effective on some of those quick hit runs. I thought Dante Dowdell's long touchdown run was pretty impressive. I mean, he basically wasn't touched until he got to about the 4-yard line, showed a little burst, and was moving pretty well at that size. So, I think as kind of much as you could take away, I think was generally pretty positive about the offensive line. I mean, I'm eager to still kind of see how the guard position shakes out. That's kind of the big position battle, I think, that's, you know, going to be still going into the fall. But, you know, I think you kind of know what you're getting from Ben Scott and Bryce Benhart. So, you know, kind of having the sixth-year guys coming back, it just kind of, I think, settles things down quite a bit at those two spots.
Bruncey, we'll get to baseball in 2 seconds, but what does Saturday mean for you as you fast forward to 2024 with Nebraska football?
Well, I mean, I think it's just there's just a little bit of positivity because, you know, the big question mark was, you know, how are the quarterbacks going to fare? And, you know, I didn't feel like Danny Kalen or Dylan Raiola were in any way flummoxed or nervous. I mean, they may have been, but they didn't play that way and kept Nebraska on schedule. I mean, even, you know, certainly we're, you know, rightfully so, talking a lot about Raiola and what he did. But I mean, even that 2-minute drive that Danny Kalen led at the end of the first half, I thought was pretty well done and kind of might've gotten overlooked a little bit from the way that things kind of moved on. So, I think I'm leaving that game pretty positive about where things are heading into 2024. I think you can definitely see a framework that, you know, the staff can build around on offense and pair with that really, really good defense.
Michael, quickly here before we flip over, basketball and baseball coming. Malachi Coleman's cryptic post, something for Husker fans to worry about?
I haven't seen it. What am I missing?
So Malachi Coleman took to Twitter about 2 hours ago and posted a simple photo that simply said, "Trust in new beginnings." Nothing else from Malachi Coleman since then.
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. It's not. I don't know. Like, if you're going to leave, you leave. If you don't, you don't. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with things in the portal era.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see, I guess, if anything comes of it. I mean, we'll know sooner than later, right? Because today is the last day you can enter. So, I really don't have too much to add to that. So I'll let you continue to speculate and be a little nervous, I guess.
Oh, we're not really speculating. I'm in the same camp as you, firmly.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So let's talk about Nebraska's new 7-foot-1 addition here. Braxton, is it May? How the hell do I say it, Bruncey?
Mia.
Mia. Thank you. Like Miata. Mia.
Yeah.
7-1.
Not really like Miata.
Well, sorry.
It's a good way to remember
that's
it.
That's how I'm going to say
it. He's about the size of a Miata, I think.
Thank you for the coverage.
I think he's taller than a Miata, to be honest with you.
So Mia. Well, for sure. 7-1. 250 from Washington. This is huge. Rim protection. What's his skill set offensively? Is he a post scorer, or is he a guy that can get you 10 and 10? What do you think? Where's his fit?
Yeah, I mean, he's a rim protector, rebounder. And, you know, you look at what he did at Washington, his kind of one healthy year there was his junior season. I basically averaged about even on rebounds. Points, was a member of the Pac-12 all defensive team. That's what you need him for. That's what he's going to provide. He shot a really high percentage from 2-point just because a lot of his points were dunks. That's kind of what you're getting with him. I mean, you're not going to get, this is not like a stretch five situation but with him. So you just look at what Nebraska's added out of the portal to this point, and you know, a glaring need was somebody to protect the rim, somebody to rebound. You know, you lose Josiah Alec. You know, Rink Mass knees are certainly a concern. And, you know, he hasn't actually publicly stated what his plans are, kind of what the picture looks like there. So you needed to add a little bit more size to go with Andrew Morgan out of North Dakota State, another transfer in, who I think is more of a, I would say more of a in the stretch four type skill set versus Mia, who's more of like a typical, you know, athletic five. And he had some good games. I mean, there was his best game this last year was against UCLA. I think he something like 19-10 or 19-9, something like that. And, you know, the numbers dipped a little bit this past season. He battled an ankle injury and a hand injury and was never really quite healthy. So he's got 1 year left. It's going to be in Lincoln, and I think it was a good marriage for both parties, because Nebraska needed help and he needed wanted some playing time, and that's where we stand.
Michael, we'll see what that means for Rink Mast, his future with Nebraska. That remains still in doubt just a little bit. But before we get you out, a little over 60 seconds here to flip over to baseball. Nebraska, Creighton tonight. It looks like the rain has passed. We'll cross our fingers on that one. Are you expecting more Husker disappointment in a midweek game against Creighton tonight?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge tonight. You know, Nebraska, with the way that the schedule sets up, they've got Creighton tonight in a midweek. They've got K-State tomorrow night in a midweek in Lincoln, and then they play three on the weekend at Minnesota. So, you know, when you have the back-to-back midweeks and certainly doing it against two very good top 100 teams, the pitching is going to be challenged. I would expect that tonight and tomorrow night you're probably going to see some names that haven't been out there before. That's a little bit or they've been out there, but maybe not in a high-pressure, high-leverage situation. So that's always a little bit of a cause for concern, but we'll see. I mean, the bats have to kind of hold up their end, and you know, Nebraska's hoping that maybe Ty Horn, the starter for tonight, can give him a little bit of depth in his start, because he's been more of a 1-2-inning guy. If they could get 3 innings out of him, I think they'd be just tickled tonight. So we'll see. They've got to get it turned around. This is a big opportunity for them this week to get a couple really good midweek wins.
It's Michael Bruns with Husker 24/7, and follow Brunsy on Twitter at Michael Bruns. And be sure to read him, all sorts of recruiting, Husker baseball, Husker football, Husker hoops. Brunsy, enjoy the ball game tonight. Thanks for a few minutes.
Anytime, thanks.
Appreciate it. There he is. It's Michael Bruns. We'll check in with Matt Verzel. Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager.